This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our trek through St. Mark with The Strong Man, Blasphemy Against the Spirit, Parable of the Sower, The Mystery of the Kingdom, and The Lamp. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
It looks like something of a secret meeting, maybe, between Jesus and this Pharisee, a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling elders of Israel, Nicodemus. He comes to Jesus by night. He basically wants to know who Jesus is. They know something's going on here. They've seen the miracles. They know that he has been sent from God, but they don't know who he is. And in answer to his inquiry, Jesus, well, he seems to kind of change the subject. He starts talking about being born, about being begotten. He starts talking about the kingdom of God and about baptism. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus teaching Nicodemus at John chapter 3. Pastor Tom Baker joins us. He's host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Why does Nicodemus come to Jesus by night?
This is a common theme, particularly in the Gospel of John, that daytime light is referring to Jesus, and nighttime is really referring to the sinful world. And so Nicodemus comes by night because at this time, he's not really sure about Jesus. He doesn't believe in him as the savior of the world, but he has been really captivated by some of what Jesus has been saying. And so Nicodemus is a ruler of the Jews. In fact, he's a member of the Sanhedrin, which is the kind of high priestly court. They're the ones that indicated that Jesus should be crucified. And so you can imagine with that kind of status, he doesn't want to be seen with Jesus in the daytime because a number of the Pharisees had already said, as we find out in John chapter 9 with the blind man, that if anybody would say that Jesus is Lord, he would kind of like have to be excommunicated from the synagogue, which happened to the blind man who had received his sight. So there's a fear on the part of Nicodemus, being a ruler of the Jews, and therefore he comes to Jesus at night because that's when he feels it appropriate so others will not see him.
You mentioned it briefly there a moment ago, but what does Nicodemus believe about Jesus at this point?
Well, he does believe, according to verse 2 of chapter 3, that he must be a teacher come from God. Because not so much of what Jesus is saying, but from what he is doing. From no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. And that, of course, is referring to the miracles that Jesus is able to perform. In fact, the miracle that had occurred just prior to this is the wedding at Cana. That's chapter 2 of John, where Jesus changes water into wine. And so, though John isn't necessarily in chronological order, because we also have Jesus cleansing the temple in chapter 2, we must understand that whenever Nicodemus came, there was a lot that Jesus had done that moved Nicodemus to say, well, God must be with you. And he's now anxious to hear perhaps what Jesus will say to him concerning salvation.
Why does Jesus respond the way he does? Nicodemus comes essentially saying, where do you come from? Who are you? And Jesus does not really answer his question directly.
No. he answers it, and this is the English, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again." Now, I don't know of a translation that doesn't say that, that you must be born again. The problem is, the word doesn't just mean again, it means from above. And the other word is the word to be born. Now, that Greek word, genao, really has two different meanings. If a man is the subject, the verb means to beget a child. But when the mother is the subject, it means to give birth. Now, how does a man get a child? Well, throughout the New Testament, we become children of God not by being begotten, but by being adopted. So, here we have two words that have different meanings in the original than what Jesus is saying. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born," and that's how Nicodemus understands the word, when it really is kind of referring to unless one is adopted. And then the second word, again, really can be translated from above. So what Jesus is saying, unless one is begotten from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus does not understand how Jesus is using those words. He thinks he's talking about being reborn of a woman. And so he says in verse 4, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born?" And so Nicodemus has misunderstood the words of Jesus, which really should be better translated as, unless one is begotten from above, then you cannot see the kingdom of God. And that's why Nicodemus gets confused, misunderstanding the words of Jesus.
So what is Jesus talking about when he says that one must be born from above?
He answers in verse 5, "Truly, truly," sometimes it's "verily, verily, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Because that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Every human being since the fall of Adam and Eve, except for Christ, when they are born, they are sinful. They have that incarnate sin, which leads into all kinds of vices. But if you're born of the Spirit, then you are spirit. In fact, in Matthew 25, on the sheep and the goats, it's very clear that there's two kinds of good works. The one is called good works done by human beings, just naturally. Like, and I've used this before, where a woman drops her groceries on the street and you help pick them up. But when she does that, you also are looking around to see how many cars are going by with your members in them, so it makes you look good. So what appears to be a good work is really done for selfish reasons, to make you look good. When the Holy Spirit, though, moves you to do a good work, it's not called just a good work. It's called a fruit of the Spirit. And that is what is necessary when Jesus says that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And remember, that word born really should be translated from the point of view of a male receiving a child, not a woman. And therefore, it shouldn't be born, but begotten. So Jesus repeats it again. In verse 7, you must be born again. And the word you there is in the plural in the Greek. So he's talking about all individuals need to have the Holy Spirit in order to be adopted by God. And let me give you the best example of that. That was Abraham, when God came to him and said, you know, you and your wife Sarah, she's way past childbearing age, but she will have a child. His name will be Isaac, and through him will come the Savior of the world. Now, why Abraham believed it is not obvious until you read a passage like this, that it is the Holy Spirit that moves him to believe that which sounds ridiculous. Abraham consented to what God had promised. And then remember what God says? Therefore, you are justified by your faith, not by your works. And Paul picks that up in the New Testament. In fact, that's kind of what the whole Bible is about. And also this passage, justification by grace through faith on account of the Holy Spirit.
So how is baptism the way into the kingdom of God, according to Jesus' words?
Yes. Verse 8, it says, the wind blows where it wishes. Now, the original word for wind is also the translation for the word spirit. So we understand that Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. And you hear it sound, you know, like regular wind. You do not know where it comes from or where it goes. And then he says, so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus is totally confused. How can these things be? And Jesus responds to him in verse 10, are you the teacher of Israel and you do not understand these things? You see, if you look in the Old Testament, there's no doubt there are passages where it talks about that we will be saved by the gift of the Holy Spirit, even water being sprinkled upon us. And so in verse 11, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And so this happened to Jesus when he was talking about to the disciples that you must eat my body and drink my blood. And a number of the disciples, not of the 12, but they could not understand what Jesus was saying. And it says they left him no longer to follow him. But Jesus in verse 13 makes it very clear. No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Now, that phraseology, Son of Man, is one of Jesus' favorites. Because he was incarnate, he therefore became a human being. He is a Son of Man through the Virgin Mary, but he is also Son of God. And he makes the point very clearly that he has descended from heaven. So only he was able to see the Father. Nobody else has been able to. And because he saw the Father, he knows what the message of the Father is. And therefore, what he's telling to Nicodemus is a heavenly teaching. See, that's the whole thing about the Bible, is it has many, many insights that people are unaware of when they read the English. Because all the English translations talk about unless you are born again, thinking that Jesus is talking about what happens with a woman giving a child, when in reaction, he's really using the word that a man, when he gets a child, is adopted. And then the word again means from above. And what does from above mean? It means from heaven. So when I, as a pastor, baptize an infant, I'm baptizing them according to heaven. That is, Jesus is speaking through me. I, namely Jesus, baptize you with water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I actually like a translation that I heard. I baptize you into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, baptism is a sure way of being born again of water and the Spirit.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. We're teaching about Nicodemus and Jesus by night in John chapter 3 as we teach a Sunday school lesson. So what should the Sunday school children believe about their own baptism?
One Lord, one faith, one baptism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
We're discussing Jesus teaching Nicodemus in John chapter 3. This is Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has 7 military chaplains in direct support of the Afghanistan evacuation effort. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces supports chaplains who serve on active duty in the reserves, the National Guard, Civil Air Patrol, and the Coast Guard Auxiliary. For more information on their work, visit lcms.org/armed forces. Serving those who serve, LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armed forces. So, Tom, what should Sunday school children believe about their own baptisms?
They should believe about their own baptism the same thing they should believe about their own birth. If they were born biologically to the parents, all they need to see is a birth certificate, and parents should have that framed and put up on their bedroom wall. But there's another certificate that ought to be framed, and that is their baptismal certificate, because both of them, the birth certificate and the baptismal certificate, point to a reality where the first says you are born of these parents and therefore you're a member of the family having been begotten, whereas the other certificate says you are born from above. And therefore, in regard to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have been adopted into His family. And therefore, the children should have an assurance that just as they are truly begotten children of their own parents, so also they are adopted children of God, because that's the promise that He makes. Peter says that very clearly in the Pentecost sermon in Acts chapter 2. that you are to be baptized and you receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, for sure. And therefore, that's the point that the Sunday school teacher should be getting across to the students.
When the Sunday school children are asked by their evangelical friends, "Have you been born again?" how should they respond?
They should respond by indicating that I was not born again in the sense that you may be thinking of it, that I became begotten through my mother again. But Jesus' words, born again, really means to be adopted from above. That's a huge difference. And you can say, yes, I was adopted from above, because the words of Jesus were used at my baptism, and I was baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And therefore, it wasn't the pastor who has the power to bring me into God's kingdom. It was Jesus whose words the pastor used, whose hands of the pastor were used, and water given by the church. And that's why I can be assured that I also have been baptized in the sense from above and adopted as a member of the family of God.
Do you think that this conversation with Jesus was the reason that Nicodemus later, according to the Gospels, became a believer?
It's important to note, and that's what is very good about the Concordia Publishing House material that teaches this, that Nicodemus is mentioned two times further in this particular gospel. The one time, he's arguing before the Supreme Court, the Sanhedrin, that Jesus cannot be condemned without a trial. That's chapter 7, verse 50. We believe he's trying to get Jesus in front of the Sanhedrin so that they can hear him teach as he has, and therefore come to believe in him as he does, which occurred in chapter 3. The other time Nicodemus is mentioned is the one who had spent a lot of money on spices to prepare Jesus' body for burial. And Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus went to Pontius Pilate to ask that they be able to take down the body of Jesus and bury him. And they buried him in the tomb of a very rich man, namely Joseph of Arimathea. But it wasn't until Sunday that the women came to give spices to his body. And of course, he had already risen from the dead, as he had promised. So Nicodemus is mentioned three times in John, and each time, the second and third, shows that he had come to faith in hearing the word of God that Jesus spoke in John chapter 3.
Finally, what is the law and gospel of this lesson?
The law is that it's really hard that I have to believe that Jesus is the way to be adopted by God. What if I do a lot of good works? Doesn't God think he is pleased with me and therefore rewards me? No, that's called merit. Nobody merits heaven. We instead inherit heaven. And inherit is a free gift by grace given to us. And therefore, the gospel is that the Holy Spirit has worked in a sure and certain way through baptism, delivering all his gifts to me, specifically not only the Holy Spirit, the forgiveness of sins, but especially faith. And faith is simply trust in the promises of God.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line for the remainder of today's program. That email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our trek through St. Mark with The Strong Man, Blasphemy Against the Spirit, Parable of the Sower, The Mystery of the Kingdom, and The Lamp. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
In the last 14 years, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has experienced a 59% decrease in pre-seminary Concordia University enrollment and a 61% decrease in Lutheran teaching programs and similar decreases across the board in church work vocations. To answer this challenge, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has begun the Church Worker Recruitment Initiative. To learn all about this, pick up your copy of the August issue of the Lutheran Witness, where Dr. Bonnick talks about this. To subscribe, visit cph.org/witness or visit our website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Your daily Lutheran Bible class. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Greetings in Christ, and thank you for listening to Issues Etc. If you ever find yourself visiting the Smoky Mountains in East Tennessee, please join us here at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Sevierville. We see it as a small part of our service to the church to provide sound liturgical worship opportunities for vacationing Lutherans to our area. For worship times and directions, please visit our website at splctn.com. That's splctn.com.
If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Those words of Jesus have been the motto of Concordia University Chicago for generations. We build our education on the Word of God, the only sure foundation for learning. I'm Dr. Adam Francisco, Dean of the College of Theology, Arts, and Humanities at Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for God's Word to become the foundation of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.